Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, here to dish up some deliciously delectable, consciousness-raising creations for your mind, body, and soul. So, first of all, I would like to thank Gay Adegbolola, who brings us in with Hungry Woman Blues, and you know that we have the cure for that here. We're on first and second Sundays at 6. We dish up a dollop of divinely delicious, natural, and holistic healing to feed your mind, body, and soul. So, folks, we have reached March, and I am so, so glad. Even though we had yet more precipitation to hit us in the D.C. metro area, and I see on my phone app that we have more scheduled for Tuesday and even more scheduled for Thursday, we are in March, and we know that in 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks actually, spring will spring, and we're just so excited. And so it may be March 1st, but it's just a significant marker for me because March is better known as the transition month from winter to spring. So I am excited and hope springs eternal. That will be my pun for the evening. Well, before we go forward with our wonderful guest for the evening, who was here last spring, warmer time, April, though, I'll share with you a little bit about myself. As I said, my name is Tanya Parker, and I have what I call a company slash ministry. It's called Mind, Body, and Spirit Works. And so I answered Spirit's call many moons ago to work within this venue to facilitate expression of one's highest self through divinely inspired and assisted holistic healing, teaching, coaching, and writing services. And I've done a lot of different things, and I won't go into those this evening, but I have to say that all of them have worked together beautifully to lead me to this point where I can host and produce and create for this show, Mind, Body, and Soul Food, which has provided for, gosh, almost 5 years, an opportunity each month to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul-nourishing information as we give voice to the vision of truly gifted holistic healers and light workers. And, you know, we can't do it without you listeners out there. You support the show in such a beautiful way. I'd like to thank those of you who called, who listened in and called in last month as well for our Heart Month shows. On the first Sunday, we had heart-to-heart readings with Ty Johnson Anderson. Then on the second Sunday, we had my friend Reverend Susan Duncan, and she spoke on heart chakra healing with crystals and more. So if you missed either one of these fantastic guests or any of the past shows, actually, over the past 4+ years, you are welcome to check them out on demand on the Blog Talk site. So tonight, we have a very delightful guest on tap. And as I said, she was on last April. And we met 2.5 years ago and discovered we were kindred spirits. She graciously agreed to come on the show, and she wowed us last year with her amazing wisdom and gifts. And once again, she has said yes, and I am so thrilled to have the return of the scientific mystic, Rosemary Bredesen. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Tanya. It's great to be here.
Did I get your name better this time?
Very good, yes.
Okay,
it is
good.
Of Norwegian descent, it's Bredesen in Norway, and in America it gets a lot of different ways to be said.
Well, as long as my way was one of the acceptable ones, then we're good to go.
Absolutely. We'll just do Rosemary, the scientific mystic. Everybody can say that.
Exactly. That's true. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm so glad to have you here on this cold, wintry evening, and we're going to definitely warm things up. And before we get started, I just want our listeners who may not be as familiar with you to hear more about who you are and what do you serve at your very bountiful healing table.
Oh, well, thanks. First of all, I just have to say, you attract a wonderful community. I loved being on the show last year. The people who called in were just amazing folks, and so I'm very excited about doing this tonight. And really who I am, the scientific mystic, is because I came at helping people from a background of mathematics and science, and I was working on NASA's Hubble Space Telescope for a long time, when I truly felt a call to become a spiritual healer. And I have to say, Tanya, I resisted the call for months, saying, really, you want me to leave this and go do
right.
that? You know,
as we often resist spirit's call.
Oh, well, of course, because it's, you know, it's moving us out of our comfort zone. And that's
right.
the thing that I think is such an important message that we have to first get is, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, whether you're in a horrible situation and it feels like there's no hope, there is light getting on the path. And I was in a great situation. I was having dinner with astronauts. I was bragging about, well, you know, all these pictures that come out of the Hubble go through my photo lab, blah, 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 you know, the glamour of this. And the call was, be a spiritual healer. I had no idea what that meant. So I really had to go through the soul search to see, okay, am I doing what I was born to do, or am I, you know, collecting a paycheck for something fun and, you know, performing well, but not really doing, honoring my soul's journey? And the answer to that question became really obvious when I went through fibromyalgia, and I was in a lot of pain, and I was struggling with how to get through my life. And the answer to the question really was, how you get through your life is to get on purpose, get on the path, as you know, you do what your soul says you need to do. And I will tell you now, I don't have fibromyalgia anymore. And so
that is amazing.
It is. And a lot of people think, oh, once you have that diagnosis, you're going to spend the rest of your life deteriorating. And honestly, I had one of the foremost authorities on fibromyalgia. I was blessed to have him as my doctor. And he did not misdiagnose me. He just believed that with lifestyle changes and diet and exercise, and he's the one who asked me in my first appointment with him, where is it you focus when you're meditating? Okay, I want you to move your focus down to your heart center because we've got to get that opened up in order to get this open and relax your body. And, you know, he was just really helped me see that my whole life wasn't integrated whole. It wasn't, okay, I go to work, I have this illness, I have these kids. You know, it wasn't all of that in pieces. And so what you're doing, Tanya, with your show is so important because people need to understand it's not this one thing is it. It's let's look at everything as a whole. Let's put all the pieces together. And so when you're living your soul purpose on your path, then everything has to be in alignment with that. And I think once I finally got that, I started realizing, okay, my life has to be around my soul path. I don't get to live my purpose when my life is all lined up to support that. I get my life lined up to support it when I'm on my soul path. Does that make sense to you?
That makes a lot of sense, yes. Yes.
And so I'm hoping your listeners are getting that message, because sometimes we feel as if things are, we're dealing with things, and all that stuff we have to deal with is really only, you know, just what I was going through. It's like, okay, it's not that, oh, my life is now defined by fibromyalgia. It's what is this helping me to learn about my life. And if I'm at a crossroads, I have to choose a path that is more in alignment with my soul journey than it is with what's expedient or what I think I'm supposed to do or what somebody else, I mean, my goodness, what somebody else says I should be doing.
Right, and, right. And right? I hear issues of that many times from callers. You know, and I've dealt with those issues too, so I get it. I totally get it. Wow.
Right, and I have to tell you, I had last night we do every third Saturday here in Annapolis, Maryland. We do a gathering. We call it a celebration, and it's a little ritual. I give a message, like a sermon kind of thing, but I channel the Divine Feminine, and then we do a meditation. And last night's message really blew me away, even though it was coming out of my mouth. But what they said was, every atom in you was born at the beginning of the universe, and so it has known the cosmic plan for all these years. And so that atom inside of you knows what your program is. It knows your destiny. It knows what your journey is for this lifetime because it's been here forever. You know, you've heard people say things like, well, you're breathing molecules of air that Jesus was breathing because everything has been here the whole time. And we're just recirculating all those same molecules. Mm-hmm. You know, and it starts to make sense. It's like, well, wait. Everything that's in me, all the spaces in me even, not just the hard bones or the flesh, but all the spaces between those things, has been around for a very long time. And so they're carrying this message about who I am here. Maybe it's not such a big mystery as we make it out to be. So I just share that because it's kind of like, wow, that kind of makes sense. Maybe I just have to remember what, you know, my soul knows what I'm here for. And if I can play around in my head, I start to get myself off track. But
right,
just
right.
Go inside. Right? remember who I'm here to be and stop focusing on what I'm here to do. The who I am to be starts to make everything work out.
Well, as you said, you were channeling the Divine Feminine, which is the ultimate in being versus doing.
Right. That's
allowing. Yeah, wow.
Well, the 21st century is about that. It's about doing it that way. How can we be with each other so that we are all in, I have a friend who calls it the 360-degree win. It's not win-win or win-lose, which is the competitive, the old model. The new model is a 360-degree win. Everybody benefits when everybody benefits. And that's
I like
really,
that.
That's,
I like that.
Yeah, it's the collaborative way. That's the feminine way to be in the world. So we help each other.
Yes. So you said you're out of Annapolis, and you have shifted from the work that you did in mathematics, et cetera, working on the Hubble telescope. And if anyone has been on the page, the blog talk page, they have seen some beautiful photos from the Hubble telescope that I always love to include when you're guesting on the show, as well as your lovely photo. We have these awesome cosmic photos as well. So what else is going on with your spiritual practice, your spiritual healing practice?
It's so exciting, Tanya. I work with clients. I work individually with clients. I teach workshops and classes, and then I do these events, channeled events, where I'm channeling the Divine Feminine, but also I do events like this Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. I'm doing what I call a conversation with the other side, where some people get together and I limit the number because each person gets a message, and it could be from a loved one who's crossed over to the other side, or it might be their spirit guide, or their angel has a message for them. And those are always very fun as well as educational. But with individual clients, I'm really a mentor, and I'm trained in coaching, all the coaching, and I'm ordained, so I have the pastoral counseling certification and all of that to really get people in touch with their own inner wisdom and then help them create that roadmap forward. And create their vision, but with a plan behind it, And what happens between vision and plan is that resistance comes up and blocks come up. As you and I said, you can resist the call, but that's because there's some childhood memory or something in you that maybe it came from the voice of a teacher in kindergarten. You don't even remember that your unconscious mind is holding onto these blocks. So I spent a lot of time with clients clearing those blocks they didn't even know they had and giving them tools. So as a matter of fact, I'm working with one woman now, and just after the first session, she called me and she said, "Oh my gosh, my business in the first 24 hours started really leaping because that was
wow."
So those are the kinds of things that when you put all these tools together, again, it's about being holistic. It's a block from childhood that you need to clear now so that your business can grow. It's not, I need this business thing to do this. If you've got a block in you, you're going to block abundance flow. And so
until you really
go in and clear that inner block, whatever's going on that that little child inside needs to have satisfied, it's going to be like throwing a temper tantrum saying, "I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared." And that's usually what comes up when people are feeling stuck in their life or don't know what their next step is. There's something coming up at the unconscious level that we need to really bring up and deal with and help satisfy in a different way so that they can be more resourceful in their lives. And I spend my private client time is really focused on what are the tools to help you live your richest life, be out there, not just rich with dollar signs, but rich with friends and relationships that are so fulfilling and meaningful, and work that's meaningful. How do you get out of the J-O-B job thing and be in the meaningful work, living your purpose?
Yes.
And that's the biggest fulfillment for me, as a matter of fact, is, you know, when I have a client, for example, I'm working with, and she's been dealing with some family things, and she lost her husband a year and a half ago, and dealing with all these things, it was like things were closing in on her. And just with a few tools, so that she could handle this situation or that situation or some new way to look at that, it's just she's opened up so much. Even somebody else in a Qigong class that she goes to said, "Wow, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. You look like you're so much brighter. You have more light coming off of." Well, how do you think I felt when she reported that? It's like, yes.
I understand that feeling completely. Well, you know, the good news, callers, is that you will get a chance to also chat with Rosemary, and she'll be able to share some of her gift with you in a briefer format than if you were working with her individually. But trust me, there is some wonderment for you when you call in. And folks have been queuing up, Rosemary. So just a reminder of the call-in number. We'll open the phone lines in a few minutes. And the number is 917-889-7806. Again, 917-889-7806. Before we get to our callers, though, we recently marked the Lunar New Year. And so it was interesting when we were messaging prior to the show and about different topics that you wanted to spend a little time there, because I think a lot of people in our Western world focus on the new year starting January 1st, part of the Gregorian calendar. And so you wanted to talk about the Lunar New Year. And so if you could tell us a little bit more about what that is to our listeners and its significance.
Thank you, Tanya, for saying that, because I think it's so important for us to pay attention to nature's cycle. And this is one of the things that basically since the Industrial Revolution, we've kind of forgotten. You know, we have electricity, we have artificial lights, we have alarm clocks, and people used to wake up with the sun, go about their business. When the sun went down, they shut down for the evening, and they slept when it was dark and they got up when it was light. And we've gotten so far out of that that we're now living in this kind of artificial world. And one of the things about paying attention to the lunar cycles in the year, we are affected by the moon. Now, I happen to live here in Annapolis where there's, you know, I'm right on the water, right at the water. I know when we used to have a sailboat, if it was a full moon or a new moon, we had to go down and pay attention to high tide because it affected the tides. The water in the Chesapeake Bay and the Severn River were definitely affected by high tide and new moon or full moon. And I started thinking about, well, you know, we're mostly water, right? The numbers go from 70 to 90% water that our human bodies are. Well, if the moon is affecting the water in the river, why isn't it affecting the water in me? And, oh, maybe it did.
Mm.
And so I really did start mapping, kind of watching what happens around the new moon, what happens around the full moon. I was getting headaches during the new moon, right before the new moon, which is when the moon is called the old moon, the oldest moon, as it's getting littler and littler in the sky from after full moon. And then after the new moon came, when the moon is dark in the sky, it's like, phew, what a relief. Now it's all this nice new energy. And so I started actually tracking that in my life. And I would ritual around that because at the time of the new moon, you really do want to bring in something new. So you want that fresh start. You want to start your projects when you have this growing moon energy affecting your body and your life and obviously the planet. So you start new things at the new moon, and when the full moon comes and it's this big bright moon in the sky, it also then starts to wane. It starts to get smaller after that. So as the moon is kind of letting go of the sun's reflected light, it's a time to let go of things in our life that don't serve us anymore. Release what we don't need anymore. And so when you start to learn that we can really work in those cycles, it's like the Farmer's Almanac. You know, the farmers have been planting according to the moon forever. They knew it does better to plant here and harvest there and plant this kind of thing when the moon is in this phase. So there's a kind of a natural knowing that our human DNA used to have, and we've forgotten it. So one way to get back to that is to pay attention to the cycle of the moon. So we do this Gregorian New Year's, and, you know, what are we doing in our culture for New Year's? Where, you know, people go out and get drunk on New Year's Eve, and at midnight the bells ring, the ball drops, and then we make New Year's resolutions on January 1, and then we break them on January 2. I mean, that's kind of what New Year's is in our culture.
Right, right.
Well, some of us meditate on New Year's Eve.
Yes, yes.
Do some spiritual
I'm one of those.
Right, me too. But, you know, in general, we don't really honor it as this whole cyclic thing. It's this, you know, fresh new year, the ball dropped, it's party, party, party in Times Square. And the Lunar New Year really honors this new moon that's coming. So this year, it was just last week, or, you know, like February 18th, 19th, in that time. And there's a great celebration about it. It comes at the time when there's more light coming, the days are getting longer noticeably, and it's kind of the beginning of this, we can think about spring. Of course, Tanya, you and I are in the D.C. area saying, spring, please.
Spring, what's that? Right.
Right.
Please come.
But no. Yes. It is coming. It's coming. But this moon, you know, this new moon we celebrate. Okay, let's start our cycles of the moon tracking, because we actually have 13 moons, I call them, in the year. So we have these new moon, full moon cycles roughly every 2 weeks. We have a new moon or a full moon. And in that cycle, we actually can get very aware of nature. We start paying more attention to the moon and the sky. What's going on for me? And you, the more you pay attention, if you kind of journal around the new moon and the full moon, you'll start to notice your life having that rhythm naturally, and you stop fighting it. You know, that's part of living the richest life. It's like, what can I stop fighting so I can live more comfortably? That's one of the things. So I honor the Lunar New Year. We do a big celebration. It's not just the Asian cultures that do. A lot more are paying attention to the lunar cycles. And it's not about religion. It's more about understanding. You know what? We're on Earth. We have this satellite called the moon. And as I said, if you live by the water, you pay a lot of attention to the moon. It should be that we understand the moon better. I was talking to a friend who works in a preschool. She was saying that, oh, we know when it's the full moon because these little kids are off the law. There's a reason why that
yes.
word lunatic comes from Luna.
That's true. Well, you know, I'm a former mental health therapist, and I used to do emergency services, meaning basically we would screen people for admission to psychiatric hospitals. So when none of us wanted to take the shift around the full moon.
Yes. Well, I know that. I have spoken to emergency room nurses who refuse to work in Prince George's County Hospital here in the D.C. area because of all the gunshot wounds on the full moon. Yesterday at the class, I was doing the possibilities play shop where we actually create our playbook for the coming moon cycles. And he's a paramedic, and he said, oh, yes, full moon, right? All the pregnancy, we've got all the people delivering that we've got to get to the hospital, or they're delivering in the ambulance or whatever. You know, it's all around the full moon. So we do in society have a hint that there's something going on. And mm-hmm. so I feel that it's really important for us to learn how to be in nature with nature. Let Mother Earth's stories help us connect to our solar system. And the moon is part of that and understanding these cycles. When I worked on the Hubble Space Telescope, my immediate boss was a solar astronomer. And he would come in, he was the associate director for program management at the Science Institute, and he would come in and say, okay, we're going to have solar storms. We've got some solar flares coming up. We got to pay attention to the communications that could be disrupted by these flares on the sun. I mean, you know, this was just science and practical stuff that we had to pay attention to what was going on with the sun because it does impact us. And so it's not a really big leap to pay attention to the moon or, you know, pay attention to how many times have people heard, oh, is Mercury retrograde because my computer stopped or my emails didn't go where they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just makes sense to pay attention.
It does. And I have to thank you for really clicking something into place for me. I received a tarot reading a couple of years or so back, and the person told me, you really need to pay attention to the lunar cycles and to make use of them. And I didn't quite know what she meant by that. I mean, I knew I would hear it would be a new moon and I might do a little ritual around that, but really I was like playing at it, dabbing at it. And what you said makes so much sense. And so it's clicked into place for me where to go with this and to work with my natural cycles.
With the
cycles. So thank you.
Great. As a matter of fact, for about 5 years, I was doing a weekly, I called it the Muse letter, N-U-S-E letter. So every Friday I would send out a message and some guidance and information and a Hubble picture. I would always include a Hubble picture. And so I recently kind of took a hiatus and went on retreat and really asked my guides, what is it that the community needs from me now? And they said moon cycle, moon information. So that's resurrected as a moon letter, and it goes out on the new moon, starting with the Lunar New Year. We started it. New moon and full moon every month. So it's a free newsletter, but it's kind of about what's going on in the heavens with this new moon or full moon. And then some guidance, some wisdom, article that I write and some connections to what's coming up. And I would offer that to the listeners, as a matter of fact, if you want to go to my website and sign up for free. But it will help you. It'll be a reminder because it'll come at this new moon time and say, oh, okay, it's time for me to do a ritual. What do I want to bring in? And then at the full moon, you'll get one and it'll be a reminder again. Oh, full moon, time to let go. Okay, I'm ready to release something. What am I going to work on? What am I going to let go of? Maybe it's a good time to clean out your closet and take a bag to Goodwill or to a charity that you donate to. So those are the kinds of things that, right, so by offering that, it's like this reminder to be in touch with what's going on in your life and also to take some action that says, okay, I'm actually in tune with what's going on in my life and in the cycles of the earth.
Well, let's get your information because that queue is definitely growing, and I want to make sure that we have enough time to know how to follow up with you. So what is your website where folks can go and sign up for your moon letter and find other things that you're doing too?
Oh, other things I'm doing, yes, and information to share. It is simply the scientific mystic, TheScientificMystic.com TheScientificMystic.com. And everything will be there. You can navigate around and check out the events that are coming up and material that's there and sign up. As a matter of fact, when you do sign up for the Moon Letter, I send you a free meditation audio download that is for using the moon cycle. So it's a meditation with the full moon and new moon. And so that'll
awesome.
Be a free meditation audio that you can download when you sign up for the Moon Letter. So that's right there at thescientificmystic.com.
Wonderful. Well, I am going to remind listeners about the call-in number. It is 917-889-7806. Please make sure that you press 1 to indicate that you'd like to speak with the host, but in this case with Rosemary Bredesen in the Norwegian way, right?
Thank you.
Because we've had the return of the scientific mystic, and I know that folks are chomping at the bit to chat with you. Because some of them were in queue before I even called in to start the show.
I'm excited to talk to them, but I want to say one thing because you talked about the last show and about working with the crystals and healing the heart chakra. And I have been working with crystals, and I have some new crystals that have come to me recently, and I'm doing some work around the healing with crystals and also creating crystal grids for each of my clients so that whatever support they need, and crystals are communicating with us now to help us. But as we were getting ready, setting up for this call, I was led to bring a new crystal that came to me, and it was gifted to me. I ordered some crystals online, some crystals called Andara crystals, which are very special high vibration frequency crystals from Mount Shasta. And the owner of the shop, which is in Hawaii, sent me a note and said, I was led to gift you with an emerald Andara crystal. So your order has an extra crystal in it.
Wow.
So, and this is how wonderful the universe is, honestly, about, you know, we could have another chat where we talk about how the universe really does fulfill what it is that you need when you're in gratitude for whatever it is that you already have. But it's definitely a heart-shaped crystal of this emerald color, and it's about healing at the heart level and working with the heart chakra. So this is, I just want your listeners to know, this is continuing. Whatever work we're doing is healing at the heart level so you can love yourself, because that's key to being able to receive love and to give love to others. All love flows from self-love. And so this beautiful green crystal heart is right here with me as we're speaking today, because I would like to help everyone have a healed heart.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your crystal healing with us. Wow. Well, before we take our first caller, is there anything that our callers need to know to help streamline the process? I like to always say, folks, please don't call in and ask for lottery numbers because it's not that type of party. But if you need anything, I don't know if you need to know folks' names or what have you, or any other instructions you would like to give before we open up the lines.
Great. Well, I'm going to say a couple of things, and so I just want to preface what we're going to be doing now is think about when you're ready to ask a question. I know sometimes people think, well, I'm going to go to a psychic and I want them to tell me what to do, or I want them to tell me what's going to happen. And I just like to inform people, I am about empowering you to live your richest life. And, you know, there are people with flashing signs that say, you know, psychic, I'll give you all the answers. But I want to invite people not to try to give their power away, but to find a way to ask your question so that you will feel empowered. You will be looking for a tool that you can use in your life rather than having somebody do it for you in terms of telling you what's going to happen so you don't have to take responsibility, or in telling you what to do. Because, you know, when someone comes to me with that kind of question, I usually want to help them find out how they can be empowered to make a choice that really follows them in alignment with their soul purpose. And that's what this work is about. It's about each of us finding our own source of empowerment, because we are more powerful in the world when we come from a place of empowerment ourselves. So we kind of want to put that out there so that you know what my intention for each of you is, listeners. It's that you come away from our interaction feeling empowered to go out there and work in your life with a little better toolbox, you know, some more tools in your toolbox.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful.
And, you know, trust me, if I felt it was ethical, I would give you the lottery numbers. But I usually preface when I'm working with people, I say, first of all, my head doesn't spin around 360 degrees. You know, it's like I'm not going to get taken over that way. But also that I am not going to say, oh, you're going to meet a tall, dark, handsome stranger, or you're going to win the lottery, or here are the lottery numbers. Because what does that do? That gives you one narrow path to step. And when we're looking at multiple paths in front of us, the important thing is to take the path with the most growth on it. And that's not always the easy path. Sometimes that path is the one that has the struggles on it, but that's how we learn the most. Actually, that's how we learn the most. That's our goal, is so you'll be empowered. And now, if somebody asks if they're going to win the lottery and I hear a guide or an angel say, yeah, tell them yes, I will go ahead and do that. I don't filter what I'm told to say.
Gotcha. Wonderful. All right. Well, we have a caller ready, and this caller was on the line before I got on the line from the 216 area code. Caller, you are on Mind, Body, and Soul Food with Tanya Parker. Do you have a question for our wonderful guest, Rosemary, the scientific mystic?
I do. It's the first time calling your show. Thank you for taking
welcome.
My call, by the way.
Okay. And what is your first name, please?
Yeah, my first name is Sharon.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Would you like to know what state I'm from? I could give that.
Okay.
Ohio.
Terrific. And your question, Sharon?
Well, I'm trying to manifest something for a few months, and I know I'm on the right track. I'm going for what, you know, the things that I want. And I guess my question to you is, am I going to be getting some good news soon? I'm waiting on certain things.
Okay. First of all, the first thing that I heard to tell you, Sharon, is that working on manifesting can sometimes come out to be like putting a carrot at the end of a stick in front of a donkey. And here's why.
Okay.
Because some of our training in the law of attraction is to want that thing that we don't have, and we stick it out there on a solid stick to get the donkey to move because it keeps chasing the carrot. But the carrot always stays away from the donkey as long as it's as far away as the stick is long. And so we want to make sure that when you're in your manifesting mode, you are using tools that help you to collapse time. Because if you think about what you want as if it's in the future, you're going to get it, you keep putting it out there at the other end of the stick.
Okay.
So the guidance for you is to bring it in, and it's not the this isn't about the fake it till you make it, kind of make believe that you have it. This is understanding. Remember I said a little while ago, I hope you were on the call earlier, when I said, every atom in you has been here since the birth of the universe. And so that atom knows what the cosmic plan is and has been here all that time. So every atom of whatever it is on your purpose, on your path, whatever it is that you need, that atom already exists. So if we collapse time and you realize, oh, the atoms for that are already here in this moment, this space and time are all collapsed into the present moment, then you start to be in gratitude. So you live in gratitude that that atom's right here, right now. And those atoms are already forming the molecules. It's already happening because they aren't being created. The atoms are already here. So you start to get in. You feel the difference. I can feel the energy in you as I'm saying this. It's shifting, right? You get it?
I do get it. Yes, I do. Definitely.
Right. Okay. So that's where it's not about what's going to happen. It's like, oh, okay, my lesson is here. My purpose is manifesting what it is that I have been needing. The resources already exist. And so the atoms coming together, you can just start to get excited because it's all coming together right now, right here. And that energy, as soon as your energy shifted, and I could feel it, Sharon, that started to be the magnet that you were hoping to be before.
Okay.
Okay?
Am I going to be getting some? I do get it. No, I do. Will I be getting some good news?
You're magnetizing that good news. You're bringing it in the more you focus in being in gratitude. And as soon as you lose your focus off of that and you start to worry about it not being good news, whoa, as soon as I said that, I could see the energy went gray. It's like your TV screen lost the picture. So your job is to hold yourself in the space of gratitude. Keep reminding yourself. Every time you start going down this path of worry, keep reminding yourself, wait a minute. In this present moment, I'm okay. All those atoms exist in this present moment. It's all coming together in a way that my soul journey is working out. And that starts to become the real comfort for everybody, actually.
Okay.
It's working. My soul journey is working out. It's already in me. And so whatever I have to learn, all the resources are right here for me. And that mindset's going to help you manifest that richest life I was talking about, Sharon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Great. You become
Sharon,
the magnet.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good
Great.
Evening.
Thanks for calling. Thank you, Sharon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Rosemary, that message was for Sharon, and I'm hearing it was for others listening in for sure. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Okay.
That was
That's
beautiful.
True for all of, that was for all of us, actually. So thank you, Sharon, for bringing that to awareness in the first call.
All right. So now we're going a little bit more locally to a 202 area code, and this exchange is 455. So, caller, you are on the air, and I'm all right, there we go. I was experiencing a little freeze there. Now, you're on the air, caller. Are you there?
Yes, Professor Thacker. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. I recognize his voice.
Delphine.
How are you, Delphine?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Professor. Yeah, I have two questions for Ms. Bredesen.
Okay. Would you say your first name for me, please?
Delphine. The first name is Delphine.
Delphine, thank you. And so what is your question?
Okay, I just wish to know, what does it take for one to become a spiritual leader? Do you have to go through some formal training or something in order to become a spiritual leader?
Oh, that's an excellent question, Delphine. Thank you for asking that. Because obviously, you know, we have people who hang out a shingle that says, I'm a spiritual leader, because they've been asking certain questions, but they haven't done the inner work to get clear about what it is they're teaching. And so, yes, there are some things that you do. And so, for example, let me tell you my path. It doesn't have to be this path, but my path has been to actually have some life experience, number one. I went to a 4-year seminary program to get ordained in what's called esoteric Christianity, And then I've since broadened that because my husband was ordained in a different seminary as an interfaith minister, and we started understanding that there are so many paths to the divine that we wanted to open up the spiritual journey rather than saying it's a religious journey, and each person can be on their own religious path and still be spiritually seeking. So we've done that work. We've trained in pastoral counseling, and so I have studied NLP and hypnosis. I became a Reiki master because the call, the message I heard was to be a spiritual healer, and I kept wondering, you know, what the heck that meant. And so as that was revealed to me over time, it also became evident that I had to use my intuitive gifts to help people heal from grief, for example. So becoming a medium was not about I was setting out to do seances or anything. It was part of being a spiritual healer and having someone who was grieving over the loss of their father come to a session, and the father showed up in the session and said, I have something I want to tell her. Will you tell her for me? And that's really how that part of it happened. So I think it's a combination of getting some practical training so that you know what you're doing when you're helping people. And also, I would tell you my journey has been a long journey of personal growth work. And this is true no matter what business you're in or what job you're in. If you haven't done your own work, you're not a clear channel for the guidance and the help that you can do, the work you do for other people. You know this, right, Tanya?
Oh, most definitely. Yes.
And so, Delphine, that's what I would say. Spiritual leader doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, have somebody tap you on the shoulder with the sword and dub you, you know, sir or lady, so-and-so, the leader. As much as it is, you're answering a calling and you get very clear about how you're going to answer the call with getting your own stuff out of the way. Does that make sense to you, Delphine?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much for that answer. Then my second question goes thus. You talk of paying attention to the lunar cycle.
Right.
May I know the benefits I can derive from paying attention to the lunar cycle?
Oh, excellent question.
Some of the benefits one can derive from that.
Sure. I will share some with you on a personal level. My husband and I, over the last several years, have really been diligent about paying attention to the lunar cycle. And in doing that, we have noticed that we've really kind of eliminated any friction between us. And part of it is because we just kind of look at each other and say, oh, yeah, it's that old moon, right? Okay. Or, oh, man, it's the full moon. What are we going to clear out of here or get out into the clear or work with? So just in relationships, it can be very beneficial to have that insight. Okay, it's a new moon, and so we kind of talk about the new moon and what can we do that's like exciting or something new that we can do during this period. So that's one thing that it can help you to be aware that, oh, if that's going on and it's a full moon, that person might not be saying what they would say a week ago or a week from now because they're a little bit off kilter because it's a full moon. So you see what I'm saying? You start to become more tolerant, more accepting because everybody's in this energy. You also get to be very diligent about driving because people can be easily distracted by these energies. So at the time of the new moon and the full moon, and for 3 days before and after each of those events, you want to be careful on the roads because everybody else can get distracted. So can you. So you want to be paying extra special attention. That's one thing. Another way, one of the things that we do, like at this Possibilities Play Shop that we were doing yesterday, which is all day and just absolute fun, we pull pictures out of magazines, not based on, you know, a lot of vision boards are what you want to buy. Here's the yacht you want to own and the house you want to buy and the car you want to drive and all of that. This is more esoteric. This is about how you want to feel. And so you pull out a bunch of pictures that make you feel good, the way you want to feel. Then you put them into your planner, your binder, based on when the new moon is and the full moon is, and you schedule that out. And you blindly take you let your intuition, you let your heart, you let your angel guide help you pull a picture out. So you're not consciously picking it. And then that gets glued into your book. Well, when it comes time for the new moon, say, you open to that page to do a little journaling or to write your ritual in. And here's what happened to me one time last year with my playbook. I went to a meditation workshop, and in my meditation, an owl came to me. An eagle came to me with a message that time. And I came home and went to write it into my playbook, and I turned to the new moon when we had done this, and what picture had I glued into that page months before but the picture of an eagle? So I didn't know that that was what was going to happen at that time, but somewhere in the cosmos there was a knowledge of that. And so it starts to really reinforce and confirm what's going on in my life when that's there. I had an opportunity to speak at a networking event, and I went to write something in the book about when that was happening a couple months in the future, and what had I chosen as a theme for that month? Picture and the words connections on that picture. So there is something going on at a level that's even hard to articulate, but it is about we're playing in a game where we can actually be in consonance with the universe's plan, with the cosmic plan as it works out. Our soul knows more than we know. And so that's where, when you are paying attention to that, the energy is there. As I said, the tides are affected by the moon, and so all those water molecules inside of you are stirred up with the moon, just like the water in the Chesapeake Bay is stirred up. So I invite you to play with it and notice and see what's going on for you every new moon and full moon.
Okay.
And call us back next time I'm on, Delphine, and tell me how that's going for you, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much
for calling, Delphine.
I've really learned something today. Yeah,
great.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For calling in.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Those are some good questions. So I'm glad you got a chance to flesh out some examples of how it has been useful for you working with the lunar cycles. We have a caller who has been on for a while from another local area code, 443. This one is with a 691 exchange. So caller, you're on the air. What's your name?
Hi, Rosemary. It's Beata.
I'm sorry, I didn't get what your name is.
It's Beata.
Oh, Beata, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Great. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. I had a specific question that I hope it's okay to ask, and you can let me know if it's not. I have... I feel like I've made so much progress in so many areas of my life. I've been coaching with Rosemary, and it's been an absolutely phenomenal experience. So I highly recommend Rosemary as a guide, and she's incredible. But the one thing we haven't touched on yet is, and I've been kind of feeling it over the last few days, is the concept of food. And what I mean by that is I have so much information in my head about healthy living and being healthy, and I have a lot of vegan experiences, and then I have a lot of you should really just eat a lot of good protein experiences, and then, you know, just lots of leafy greens. And I'm finally at a point where I think I cannot tap into what my body truly needs, and I do know a few things it really doesn't need, so I'm clear on those. But for some reason, because I'm getting a lot of conflicting information, and I see wisdom in a lot of different types of methodologies, or however you would like to describe it. I think I'm just so confused, and then the confused mind says, oh, poo, let's just go eat pizza anyway. And so what I'm looking for is how to tap into myself again, but really figure out what is it that my body really needs from me in order to be the healthiest and most energetic I can be for myself.
Well, that's a great question, Beata. Thanks for asking that, because, again, it's about tools. And what I'm seeing for you to do is to get yourself
a pendulum. Do you have a pendulum?
I do. I just don't know if I'm very effective at using it yet, but I do have one.
Okay. And for the listeners, if you don't have a pendulum, you can use a pendant, just a or tie a rock on a string. I mean, you know, it's pretty simple to create something that's a pendulum. And it starts to help you communicate with unconscious minds. So, I mean, I learned about using a pendulum two different ways. I studied it when I was learning to be a trainer of hypnotherapy and in NLP to help a client focus on communicating with their unconscious mind, because our conscious minds have so much information in them that they can get in the way of what's going on in the unconscious mind. But also, I learned about it as a dowser when I studied that, so that we could get in touch with earth energies and can use it to communicate kind of with the greater intelligence of the cosmos. But it's very, very helpful to have a pendulum that will speak to you over the voice of, oh, you know, the heck with this, I'm just going to have some pizza. Or, I know the chocolate's good for me, and so I'm going to have two Hershey bars. You know, it's, there's a voice that comes in with that, and it's kind of like, oh, okay, I'll listen to that voice because I like what it's saying. The pendulum is the unconscious one. So I use it in my kitchen. It'll be like, okay, I feel like having this morning, but if I'm not sure whether this is a day that I should have that because I may have had that yesterday, and sometimes it's better not to have the same thing every day in the row, I'll get a pendulum out and I'll just ask, is it in my highest good to have this or that? Or, you know, is this? And you'll get a yes or a no. How about that? Yes or a no. And that's the easiest way to start training yourself to pay attention to a signal from inside, because when your conscious mind is so full of information, and Beata, because I know you're very, very good at analyzing and you can figure things out so quickly and sharply that your wonderful intelligence and mind can have so much information on the radar screen that you can't see where the airplane blip is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Because like I said, I finally feel like I'm a little bit in knowledge overload, and I think I've lost the capability, at least in this arena, to even figure out what is it that I really need. And it's like, okay, I knew I needed to sort of tune in. I just didn't know what the most effective way to tune in was.
That is an easy way for a lot of things, but especially because my sense for you is that it's not, okay, here's the perfect program for you, follow this to the T, you know, do it exactly the way they say in this book. And there's so many different programs out there, ways to eat, foods to eat and not eat, and most of us are actually kind of an amalgam of different needs at different times, maybe even at different times of the day. So it might be that fruit's okay for you in the morning, but not at night. It might be for somebody else the exact opposite. And so, you know, there's no one book that fits everybody's needs. And my sense for you right now, Beata, is that there's no one program that's going to fit your needs on Tuesday and Thursday in the same week. So having a tool that says, okay, for this meal, here's what I'm kind of feeling that I might want to eat. Is this the optimal? Is there something else? Or, you know, this is what I've got. I have to get the kids off to school. So is it in my highest good to eat this now? And it may be that that's the right thing for them because of the circumstances. And then a couple hours later, you maybe need to eat a handful of almonds to supplement it or something like that. And then you have something else at lunchtime. So you allow yourself to be kind of in the present moment, what does my body need, rather than what's the perfect program for me to be participating in.
That feels better. I think I've been trying to hone in on that one perfect program, and I would do it for a little while, and it would work to some degree, and then I would internally be rebelling because it's like, what do you mean I shouldn't eat X, Y, or Z? And then it just would fall apart. So thank you for that.
Right.
I appreciate that.
Let me add this, Beata, because I think this is something important for your unconscious mind to hear. Just because for this meal, the answer might be no, don't eat that for this meal, eat this instead, doesn't mean that there might not be another meal upcoming for which that you wanted is okay. It's just in this moment. So when you start to live in the present moment like that, it's like you're not denying all those other things. You're just saying, oh, in this moment, this is what's healthiest for me to eat. And that starts to give you some comfort that, oh, well, it might come up in the next meal. It might come up next week or tomorrow or whatever. But for right now, I'm going to eat what's healthiest. So you see you're not...
That makes total sense, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good, good.
My second completely unrelated question that I think might be helpful for others is I've been really trying to focus on creating whatever you would call it, the power hour, or I really want to get consistent in my meditation practice and working with my affirmations and just the overall really connecting with myself. And I feel like the most ideal time is first thing in the morning. I do have young children, so that gets trickier. But what I've been finding is that I really just want to sleep. And then by the time my body's done sleeping, like the children are up and I need to get them breakfast and lunchbox is packed and off to school and yada, yada, yada. And then I've been finding that I just haven't been carving out time to do what it is I want to do that I know makes me feel connected and better, because in my mind I've got that, once again, perfect formula of I should have done it like way before everyone else woke up, and since I didn't, I guess I'll have to try again tomorrow. And I know consciously there are better ways. So I'm just trying to find out if you have any wisdom on what else does it make sense to kind of carve out this kind of time if early in the morning is not so realistic.
That's a great question, Beata. I'm glad you brought that up. And as you said, I think this is good for everybody to hear. Here's the thing. We have so many shoulds around our spiritual practice that we start to overlay it with an energy other than connecting to source, connecting to our inner wisdom. And so I'll share with you what I decided to do. Before I even open my eyes, so when I am waking up in the morning and it doesn't take very long, I imagine that I have an antenna going up from the top of my head, way up and out in the universe, connecting to source and bringing light in. It's the source of light in the universe is pouring light into me, and I fill myself up with light. And then I connect down, roots down to the heart of Mother Earth. I bring those energies of nurture and mothering and caring, Mother Earth energy, up into my body. I let those energies meet at my heart. And then I move my arms out and just open my heart up, and it always brings a big smile to my face. And this is, you know, seconds before I wake up and I do that connecting. And then I start thinking about my day, and I bless the people who are in my day, and even the people I don't know are in my day yet. I'm doing all of this in, you know, a minute before I jump out of bed. And then, you know, I have to do this or that, or the dog wants to go out, you know, and you get into that thing. And the last thing I do at night is go into that gratitude. It doesn't, you know, I think we have this, it's wonderful. Believe me, I love sitting and meditating for an hour at a time, or, you know, 2 hours with a journal and the meditation and the crystals and all the rest of that. But if that's not working in a particular day, I figure the most important thing is to connect. And whatever the connection is, you know, the goal of meditation is not really what happens in meditation. I learned this, I've been meditating for decades. And it used to be, oh, I have to light the incense and close the door and turn off the phone and sit on my cushion and do all of that. I realized that the most important thing is to be as if I'm meditating and connected all the time. So yeah. I do that connection first thing in the morning. And I do usually fit in some time where I'm actually sitting and meditating and journaling and downloading and all the rest of the things that I do as part of the practice. And then I do that at night, the last thing at night, when I love it when everything's quiet. I like to go outside at 1 o'clock in the morning when it's, you know, the stars are out and it's quiet, nobody else is out, the dogs are all quiet. And just take a moment to look up at the sky and appreciate the cosmos. Of course, maybe that's a holdover from my days on the Hubble Space Telescope, but that connection, I'm connected. I'm part of all of this wonderment. And then that last few seconds before I drop into sleep, I'm just in gratitude. That's a spiritual practice. It takes no big chunk out of the day, But then if you can add to that some time after the kids go to sleep and you actually have, you know, a few minutes of quiet in a quiet room just to kind of breathe into yourself and connect with yourself, that's great. But there's no beating yourself up for not doing that. I give everyone a dispensation, everyone who's listening. There is no should about that, because if you beat yourself up, again, remember I was talking to Sharon about if you hang things out at the other end of the stick where the carrot is, it'll always stay farther away from you because that's the energy you're in. So if you beat yourself up for not doing something, all your unconscious mind energy goes to the not doing it. So we want you to say, that's so great. I spent 10 seconds and I made this connection and it brought a smile to my face. My heart is open before I've even opened my eyes for the day. Wow, that's what meditation is.
Mm.
Does that make sense, Bianca?
That's awesome. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bianca, thank you so much for calling.
Blessings to you and everybody. I hope that gives everybody permission to create whatever practice works for you. That's what's important.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Enjoy your evening, Bianca.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
All right. That was great information. And now we have, you doing okay? We have a couple more, few more callers.
Great. Okay.
Wonderful. Now we're back to local. We're in the 703 area code. So I recognize this number. Tamara, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's so funny. It seems like every caller has, like, taken a question or something that I needed to know. So this is actually pretty amazing.
Awesome.
That's how it works. Would you say your name out loud for me, please?
It's Tamara.
Great. Thanks for calling in, Tamara. What's your question now? What questions do you have left after the other callers?
Well, it's actually kind of in line with body. I really want to work on appreciating my body in a way that will, as you said, being grateful for where I'm at so that I can kind of open, well, not kind of, open space to receive more and abundance flow. So just getting some guidance and direction in reference to that, and in general, guidance and direction on allowing for abundance.
Okay. Thank you. That's a great question, because the first impression that I was receiving, Tamara, is that there was some blocks that are attached to old information or energy. And so, sometimes that comes in and it's in a model of a past life, which really, you know, it's not like you have to believe in past lives as much as it is a tapping into the consciousness of all of humanity's history, where if there's a consciousness, it can come down through our genealogical family tree as a belief that this is truth with a capital T, or it can be a past life experience, or it can be just a cellular memory. Because remember I said that those atoms have been here since the birth of the universe.
Mm.
So they're holding all of that information. And my sense in you is that there's a fear of loss of something that you've had. And it could be an abundance block based on an experience of lack or an experience of poverty or an experience, I'm actually getting an experience of hunger. And that if there's a cellular memory of an experience of hunger, it starts to take you out of the place of appreciating your body no matter where it is. And it's in that energy of hunger, as in, I have to eat a lot because I might someday be hungry again.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any resonance with you in terms of a sense of your body? It's like you're not friendly with your body if you're always worrying about something that the body's not having that it needs.
Yes, it's always felt a little like, you know, the deprivation versus a choice to not have.
Exactly. So here's the guidance for you. if there's a snack that you like, so it's like almonds, nuts or something like that that you can have, or something that's non-perishable or, you know, has a good shelf life, that you can keep as a little Ziploc in your purse all the time. It sends a signal to your unconscious mind that no matter what, I have food with me. And you start to feel as, you tell your unconscious mind then that, okay, so even if I'm at a meeting and they serve something I can't eat or don't want to eat and I'm afraid I'm going to be hungry, it doesn't mean I have to stop and have a Dairy Queen soda or, a hot touch sundae on the way home because I'm so hungry. I know that I can have a handful of almonds and I'll be okay and go home and have something healthy. And I'm not saying this because there's anything wrong with you. I'm saying that what we're doing is training your unconscious mind at the unconscious level to believe that there is always healthy food available. And it only has to be, 10 almonds in a Ziploc snack bag in your purse. But your unconscious mind then lets go of the fear that's at the unconscious level that there won't be food. And by taking care of the unconscious mind, and I do this often in sessions with people, it's like, we invite that little girl inside, say, to come up, what age were you? Or, what is this? What's around this? And it's like a big surprise because, quite frankly, if it's unconscious, we're not aware of it. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we then provide the satisfaction that the unconscious mind needs, that the conscious mind's not aware of, and we just take care of it. And by being very gentle with yourself and just saying, okay, I don't understand what this Rosemary was saying, but I'm going to put a bag of nuts in my purse, we're now allowing your unconscious mind to relax and say, okay, I'm safe. That's what it really wants, to keep you safe. And it'll relax. And then you can relax. In any situation, you can relax. Does that resonate with you, Tamara?
It really does. It definitely does.
And so the same thing is true. This is connected to abundance. If you have a fear that is about a fear of lack, whether it's a lack of food or a lack of dollars or a lack of friends or a lack of work or love, whatever it is, abundance is just abundance. It's, the cornucopia isn't just silver dollars flowing out of it. It's silver dollars and it's food and it's pink roses and it's love and it's the clothes you want to wear. All of that is wrapped up in the word abundance. But if your unconscious mind is focused on lack of something, it is energizing lack in everything. What we want to do is give it a sense of plenty. There's plenty. The purse is full. It's full of almonds, maybe. But that implies that everything in your purse is full. You have everything you need. When you need it, it's available. You're carrying it with you. And so then your unconscious mind starts to relax into, oh, okay, this is a world of plenty. Wow. That energetic creates gratitude for the plenty in your life, and that becomes the energy of the magnet. You engage, you attract more of the plenty, you attract more to be grateful for when you're in gratitude for that which there's plenty of. So, again, it goes back to instead of what we don't have, what we're lacking, to clear abundance blocks, and quite frankly, there's a lot more to clearing abundance blocks because we need to go more deeply into that. But just on the surface, this one tool I think will help you because it actually is a tool to help your unconscious mind feel as if there's plenty and it can relax. That's helpful.
It is. Thank you so much.
Well, Tamara, I'll be checking in with you on that. Good luck with that. I love that tool.
Okay. Many blessings to you, Tamara. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. Time is just rolling on by, and people have these amazing questions. And I love what Tamara said, that you were already answering some of her questions. So I love how that synchronicity works with folks. We have a couple more callers that I'm going to work to fit in before we close up. Does that work for you?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. This particular caller is from the 951 area code. Caller, are you there?
Yes, is this Tanya?
Yes, this is Tanya with Mind, Body, and Soul Food. Who am I speaking with?
This is Clarissa Robinson, Tanya. I'm just such a fan of this show for about a little over a year. I love this show. I'm so glad that you picked my number. Thank you.
I am so glad to hear your voice, Carissa. I get to see you on Facebook and interact with you, and you have been so loyal, and I'm glad that you called in. So do you have a question for Rosemary?
I do. Thank you, Rosemary. The question I have is, what tool does Spirit have for me to empower my life right now, and when or how do I use it and for what?
Ah, okay, that's a great question. I'm glad that you're exploring tools. And let me just tune in for a minute, because my sense is that and tell me if this is the energy that's coming through, Carissa. It's that when you have a tool, you feel like you need to look for more or another tool, and I feel as if you have a lot of tools in your toolbox that just need to be practiced.
Wow.
And
yeah.
So, is that true? Do you feel like you have a lot?
I do have a lot of tools. I haven't really felt, a complete taken by anything, because I get very, very excited about learning spirituality, so maybe I drop it before it becomes a practice and I get distracted by another shiny new tool. So I wanted Spirit to kind of hone in on what I'm supposed to be focused on now.
Right. And the sense is that if you start to dive deeply into the tools that you already have, you will find the one that makes you smile. That's the thing. Sometimes, we get these tools, but they're not very much fun to use. And so here I'm speaking with this immense toolbox of everything from feng shui to Chinese astrology to scientific hand analysis. And I use them all because they're fun to use. Numerology, astro-numerology, whatever. However, the ones that I've dived most deeply into become the ones that have the most relevance and availability for me.
Okay.
And so decide what it is that you most enjoy using and dive more deeply into it.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay?
All
yeah,
right. Thank
I think
you.
That will help. Okay, I'm hearing some other noise. Oh. Tanya, are you there?
Oh, I had the mute on. And so it's hard to go for a good 2-3 months without me talking with my mute button on. So you got me right there.
I was going to take over the show. That's okay.
And that would have been perfectly fine. Except for I have the I have the studio right here with me and the callers, and we have one more caller from the 985 area code. And so we will put that caller on. Are you there, caller? From the 985 area code?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
All right. Well, this is what happens sometimes. Folks are in the queue for a while, and they listen, and they go about life, and they miss they out have, when it is their time.
They may have muted their own phone and not realized that. If you have
right.
muted your
so
phone,
I will
that.
Give them one more opportunity because I've had folks say, I was on and I didn't realize it and then you
right.
were gone. So I'll say one more time, caller from the 985 area code. Are you there? Well, I guess not.
Okay.
I guess we are complete tonight with our callers, Rosemary.
Okay, good.
Oh my goodness.
So much fun.
So please let us know what are some upcoming activities that you have going on?
Well, you know, I am mostly focusing at this point on freeing up in my schedule space for individual clients to work with me. So mm-hmm. I'm working on that at the moment. But I do offer the conversation with the other side at your home. So if somebody would like to invite a handful of their friends over, especially in the D.C. area at the moment, and have a conversation with the other side where everyone can get a message from their angel or spirit guide or speak with loved ones, let me know, because I would be happy to either have you come here to our center, or I might even be able to get to your home so we could do the party at your home. And that's a really fun evening and something that we can schedule at your convenience if you can gather a group of people together to do that. And I would love for your readers to get their free download of this audio meditation about using the full moon and the new moon. So that's just a gift that I give, and then every month I will send you on the new moon and the full moon the reminder and some information and get your moon letter on the new moon and full moon. So go ahead and sign up for that for free. And when you check on the website, you'll see some other things that we're doing, some celebrations that we do in the Annapolis area. And when I have special events, I'm teaching a class, Hypnosis for Healers. So the second class, kind of the 201 class, is starting up in about 10 days. But that class, I actually have recordings of Hypnosis for Healers 1, and it's just 4 hours of class. So if someone would like to join us for Hypnosis for Healers 2, they can get the recording of the first class and go through that before we start. But this is really taking people who are using guided imagery in their practice. So it's for coaches and massage therapists and healers of any kind who are leading groups or individuals. And, you know, I see people do this all the time. They do guided visualizations, but they don't have the training to know how to take people into a relaxed state and then gently bring them out of the relaxed state. So sometimes people get stuck in the relaxed state and the leader doesn't know how to get them back into the room to move on.
Gotcha.
So we're doing this and we're practicing how to set those up and how to use language to create rapport with your customers, your clients, with a group if you're speaking, you know, with your audience. How do you create rapport with your audience? So these are really useful tools, and I am in the midst of teaching that program. And we'll be doing another Possibilities Play Shop later on in the spring. So as we look at it for the solstices and the equinoxes, and we do one for the Lunar New Year. So there'll be one coming up later on in the spring towards summer. And if people would like to learn how to do a playbook, just let me know. So my email is rosemary@thescientificmystic.com. And the website, again, is thescientificmystic.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for giving us such juicy information tonight and providing some wonderful, wonderful inspiration and information for our callers. It was just so beautiful to hear that we had some synchronicity going on. Folks were receiving what they needed to hear without even calling in. And I know I received what I needed from some of the wonderful messages that you provided for the callers. I would like to invite listeners to tune in again next week on the second Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for more Mind, Body, and Soul Food. And so that's March 8th. And we will welcome the Reverend High Priestess Thema Aziza Sirwa of the Womb Sana, and she will share her work with the womb and more. So I know there was an article that came out this past week about Gwyneth Paltrow, who had tried vaginal steaming and has become a big proponent of it. So she is late to the game. Thema has been doing this work, and she is going to share with us about it. And so I'm excited to hear all about that. If folks want to follow up with me, they can contact me, Tonya, T-O-N-Y-A, at mindbodyandspiritworks.com. For more information about my holistic healing, teaching, writing services, including my blog, Mind, Body, and Soul Food Meanderings, how to order my meditation CD, Reiki classes that I'm teaching, aromatherapy classes, conscious cooking classes, etc. Also, I've been offering wonderful sacred events, so we still have space for our Saturday, March 21st retreat. I am partnering with my dear friend and mentor, Reverend Anthony Farmer of Visions of the Heart. This is the day following the spring equinox, and we invite folks to come to the ER, the Emergence Retreat, for energetic restoration and elemental renewal. And also, I'll be traveling down to the Durham, North Carolina area on May 16th, partnering with my dear healing sister, Malaika Pettigrew, and we'll be holding a mind, body, and soul food buffet of healing. And, you know, that is a divinely delicious day of relaxation, restoration, and transformation for women. So you can find out that information on my website, mindbodyandspiritworks.com. All right, so feel free to contact me on Facebook. Like the Mind, Body, and Soul Food page there. Please like the Mind, Body, and Soul Food page on Blog Talk Radio. You can reach me on Twitter as Fifth Chakra Shaman, on Facebook, Throat Chakra Shaman, because I work with a lot of throat chakra energy. And so I would be thrilled to hear from you all. So this evening, we've received insights from our scientific mystic, Rosemary Bredesen. And Rosemary, I'm hoping we can have you back next year as well.
I would love to do it, Tonya. We'll get it on the calendar.
Awesome. Well, for leftovers, let's leave our listeners with some mind, body, and soul food to go from German theologian, philosopher, and mystic Meister Eckhart. And he says, "The eye through which I see God is the same eye through which God sees me. My eye and God's eye are one eye, one seeing, one knowing, one love." May we all see through God's eyes until we next dine again at the Mind, Body, and Soul Food Table.
One, two, here I go. Well, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed.
Thank you.